afternoon, whatever we got. It is hard to follow that. Brother Jesse, thank you, Lord, is an understatement. Thank you, Lord. I mean, in the prayer room before, I mentioned it, that the word thank you does no service to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It really doesn't, and this thing's not cooperating. Good? Yeah, this is a lot harder than I thought when before I got up. Everyone knows me. I have a bit of a sense of humor, so I need to start it off that way. Thursday night after Institute, it was dark in here. The doors were open in the back. There was nobody up here. And on the way out, I just walked up here in the dark and stood here and almost threw up in here. And Brother Paul, we joked about this, you know, during the week. I'm not going to throw up, Jesse. You're all right. But honestly, all right, well, heads up then, brother. I've been a part of this church since 1998. This is my family. And Brother Paul nailed it on the head. I'm going to get emotional, and praise the Lord. Because I'm going to get emotional because of what the Lord's done for me.
Hallelujah.
And for what the Lord's shown me and the things He's taken me through. And, you know, Lord willing, the places He's going to take me. And I just have a couple of things down that Pastor's not going to like. But I'm up here, so I guess I get away with it. Those of you that don't know me, my name is Michael Damiano. I have a beautiful wife over there, Allison. I have a son, Tristan and Isabella. And I came to this church as a visitor in 1998. Honestly, we're family, I could say it. It was to look good in front of my wife's parents. I was interested in her, and I wanted to do whatever I could to get some points. Praise the Lord. I came in as a visitor, and somebody, one of the newly saved people, praise the Lord that there's newly saved people in here.
Amen.
Amen. God's still saving, and He loves us, and we know that. But I came here as a visitor, and I sat through the first message, and it was completely different than anything that I've ever heard in my life. And not to get into my whole testimony, because it's going to be hard to keep it down to 20 minutes. And since no one else watched their time when they're up here, I'm not going to either. So, with that being said, if you do need to leave, just head out. Don't worry about it. But, you know, praise the Lord, because I came here and I heard some things. And I came from a Catholic background. As a matter of fact, I was an altar boy in the Catholic Church. And I was an altar boy for a couple of years. And never understood anything, by the way. My job was to shake the incense at the wrong time. I did it all the time. And ring some bells. And I don't even know why I was doing it. But I was up there and I was doing it because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And when I came here and I heard the first message, it knocked me right off my feet, honestly. Because I never heard about the love of Jesus Christ before. Never heard it. As a matter of fact, I can't remember Jesus Christ being mentioned in anything that I ever heard in the Catholic Church. And I'm not saying they don't mention Jesus Christ, but they don't know Jesus Christ. And that I found out later on. And praise the Lord, it took 6 months for me. Praise the Lord, He gave me, let me say that. He gave me 6 months of listening to messages, being around God's people, and just listening to what was going on here. And you know what? No matter who gets up here, like the sister said, the word of Jesus Christ is preached here. It's important here. And it will never be pushed aside. And I'm not talking about myself. It's funny, but on the way home from youth camp, for those of you that don't know, me and my wife, we head up to Singles. We used to help with the youth group when Brother Paul and his wife Gemlin were here. But we head up the Singles group here. And we had a youth camp in October. And on the way home from the youth camp, you know, because I'm not a preacher. You'll find that in about 15 minutes or so. But on the way home from youth camp, I had to preach the Sunday night service, the last one. And I was just praying, Lord, just move me aside, please. Shut my mouth, and I just pray yours is opened up. And praise the Lord, He took care of it once again. And on the way home, about 20 minutes from the church parking lot, I told my wife, I could finally exhale. The preaching is over. No, it's not. I get to the church, and pastor's there, and, you know, some of the parents are coming, people are leaving, you know, we're unpacking trucks and stuff. And then pastor comes over, and he says, brother, I want to talk to you about something. So immediately I did something wrong. I'm saying, what did I do? You know, and I wish I did something wrong, because he came over and he said, brother, We're going to do something a little different. I don't know anything about this year's anniversary, but I want to do something a little different. I want to have some of the young men preach. I heard young men. I figured I'm out, you know. And I said, all right, you know, praise the Lord. That sounds great. And he says, your name came to mind. And I said, excuse me? And then I said, why? And then he laughed and said, you know, you'll be fine. So, everyone's been gracious with the young man stuff. My brother-in-law, Chris, keeps laughing about that. He's like, he keeps saying young men. That's funny to him. But I got saved here in 1998. And again, the Lord gave me 6 months of, he was gracious enough to allow me to live the 6 months. Could have taken me any time. And you know what? If you're here today as a visitor, I just pray that maybe you just listen up. I pray maybe you get a hold of somebody here and let you know how easy it is to get saved. Because the 6 months, by the way, you know what I struggled with? The simplicity. It sounds crazy. I struggled with the simplicity of salvation. You know why? Because I grew up with people telling me, you got to do this and you got to do that. And you know what? That's no way. That's not going to get you anywhere. You know, the Bible tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that's not my message, and I don't even know where that just came from. But my point is that the Lord gave me that 6 months. I got saved, and in 1999, I got married to my beautiful wife. And it's been a roller coaster ride, but I have him in control.
Amen.
You know what? I wish I could stand up here and tell you that since the day I got saved, that everything's been perfect. Guess what? Not even close. But he is. I've had my ups, and I had a lot more downs. And I've had this conversation with people, and they said, when you get saved, everything's fine, right? No, it's not. It's not. But now I have somebody to go to. See, that's the big difference. You know, the troubles are going to be there, but you have the High King there to take you through it. And I just have a couple of memories here. It's the church anniversary. It's our wonderful pastor's anniversary. And I know he said that he didn't like anything that he heard yesterday, but I got to bring some couple of things up before I get into this. Pastor, I went to the Philippines on 2 trips. Praise the Lord, I was able to go. But on the way to one of our trips, right about a week before, Paul Eschner told me, if you're going on a trip, pastor's going to ask you to preach. I said, no way he's not. He didn't ask me before. I'm sitting next to him on the plane, and he looks at me, and he says, brother, you ready for Sunday? And I said, for what? And he said, you're going to preach at one of the churches in the Philippines. And I said, why would I do that? I don't know anything. I didn't prepare anything. And he said, this is what he's good for. He goes, you'll be fine. You know, you'll be fine. And my first message, as a matter of fact, was in Jeremiah. And a brother this week texted me the verse that I used. Didn't know, you know, I needed it. And that was Eli. You know, Eli, thank you. He sent me the verse of the actual text that I used. And Pastor has a way with just surprising you with stuff like that. But these are just a couple of things now that I wanted to bring up. One, before I was saved, I went on a trip with this church. It was a paintball trip. I've told a couple of you this before. I find it hysterical. I wasn't saved. I was only here maybe a month or so, maybe 2 months max. And my wife says, hey, you like paintball, right? Why don't you come to the church? You know, we're going to go play paintball in Pennsylvania. So I said, absolutely. Are you kidding me? And we go, and by no accident, my partner's pastor. I don't even know if he remembers this. But we're behind a rock now. It's funny. It's a rock. We're behind a rock about this big, and we're under fire. It was only me and him left. And there was probably, I don't know, it felt like 1,000, but it might have only been 2. But we're under fire, and we're getting shot at. And all of a sudden, I'm talking to him, and I turn around, he's not there anymore. He's running at these people now, hysterical laughing, shooting at them, and then jumps into a puddle. When I say puddle, it was this deep. So I'm sitting there, and I remember my wife saying, this is the pastor of our church. And I'm thinking to myself, the pastor of the church just took off and jumped into a puddle. Like, you don't hear about this type of stuff, you know? And it's like, and these are the type of things that I remember. And the other thing is the day that I got saved, for more than one reason. It was November 8th, 1998 at 9:18 at night. And that's a day I'll never forget. And I, thank you, brother. And I was there in the morning service, and I wanted to get saved. But just something kept me from keeping my putting my hand up during an invitation. I wanted to get saved. I knew I needed to be saved. And my hand was going like this. Pastor's giving the invitation, and I'm fighting myself. And when it was done, I was real upset. I was real bothered by it. And I talked to my girlfriend at the time, and I said, I wanted to get saved. And she said, well, then you should have. But, you know, we can go back tonight. There's a service tonight. And I said, all right, let's go. And I was going back to get saved. I knew it. And I get to the service. You know, the service was over. And pastor seen me downstairs. And I don't know if he's seen the look in my eye or, you know, whatever it was. But it was my time. And I went over and I said, pastor, I want to get saved. And he says, all right, let's go up to my office. And we went up to the office, and he opened up the Bible, and he showed me verse by verse things that I already knew now for those 6 months. I wasn't fighting God's word. I was fighting myself. And I got saved. And at the end, I seen him look at his watch, and I'm thinking he's recording it to see the time that I got saved. No, it's not. This one's the best. But there was a show on TV. There was a show on television that pastor watched every Sunday night. Now, they moved it after that, but it wasn't because of pastor. But there was a show that was 18 minutes into it, pretty much. And I remember him telling me, brother, you're saved, right? And I'm not going to tell you the name of the show. It's not important. It wasn't the Jersey Shore, trust me. But you know what? I remember those things about pastor. I remember those. Those are the things that stick in my mind. And I remember the day here that I got saved and standing here and having pastor here and watching my wife come down the aisle. And there's nothing else like that. And this is my home. Amen. This is a church building, you know what? But this is my family. Amen. This is my home, honestly. And I honestly have seen more and more of that. And This is a beautiful day. Last one, then I'll get into it. For Mother's Day in 1998, my family, there was a service, and I asked my mom and my father and my brother Joey, hey, why don't you come to the service? And they came. And my brother Dominic had did like a crazy shift. He worked in a South Shore Country Club, and he got home like 4 in the morning, and he couldn't make it. But I was shocked that the three of them were going to come. And I prayed, Lord, please, don't let anything interfere with them coming. And they came, and they were sitting pretty much where Matt Maeda is. We were in that row right there. And I remember, you know, seeing them sitting in their seat and shifting as it started getting later and later. And my prayer always is that, you know, that any distraction or anything would be taken out of this room, and the word of God would just be, you know, preached. And you know what? Their ears were open because pastor gave an invitation. It was a little different that day. He asked if anybody wanted to get saved or anyone have someone to pray with them. And I heard, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. And while the heads were bowed, he said, why don't you get out of your seat now and walk out the back. And then they did. And then we sang the final verse of a song like we do here all the time. And I opened my eyes and they were missing. My mom, my brother, and my father. Amen. And that day, my family here became my eternal family.
Amen.
And those are the things that I remember about this church. There's so many others, but there's always those few that stand out. And with that being said, I struggled when we came home from youth camp. I struggled because when pastor asked me to preach, I didn't want to say no. You know why? Because he had asked like 6 months before that for me to preach on a Wednesday night. And I said no, and it bothered me, it grieved me, you know. And then I said, you know what, yeah, praise the Lord, I'll do it, because I know it's not me, I do nothing. And I struggled because that next day in my family devotion, with, reading with my kids and my wife, I came across something. As a matter of fact, let's turn to it. Open your Bible up to Matthew chapter 27. And I promise I'll be as fast as possible. But look at, let's see here, where do I want to begin? Look at verse 62. It says, now the next day, that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, talking about Jesus Christ, after 3 days I will rise again. Commanded therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. And then Pilate answers them, and he says, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. And I seen that, and instantly, the Lord just started giving me things. And the study was a blessing, honestly. The Lord showed me some things, and I was excited. And then, maybe 5 days into preparing something, the Lord said, That's not what I want you to preach on. And I always used to, like, from sitting down, I always just say, well, how do people know when the Lord doesn't want you to do it? Trust me, you know.
Yeah.
You know. There's a peace. And then there was just a black, I didn't see, I was seeing the notes, but I wasn't feeling the notes. It wasn't in my heart anymore. And I have 3 points that the Lord gave me on this chapter. And that's not my message this morning. I thought it was. But it turns out that the Lord wants me to preach something else. And I just ask, please be patient. For those of you that were at youth camp, it's the same message.
Amen, brother.
And let me tell you something. It means more to me this morning than it did when the Lord showed it to me the first time.
Amen.
You know, we use the word loosely here, I believe, family. Because I have a family that I love more than anything in this world. I will do anything for my wife, for my kids, for my mom. My dad's in heaven. I'll see him soon. And I would do anything for them. But this is my church family. You guys are my family, and I love yous more than anything. And I don't know a lot of you as well, but you know what? We have a whole life, a whole eternity together. And we have a responsibility. And with that being said, please open up to Galatians chapter 6. Before we get started, let's just have a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you so much this morning. Lord, I thank you so much for everything you've done for me and my family, Lord. I am not worthy to stand here, Lord, and even open my mouth for you, Lord. I thank you for saving me, and it could have ended like that, and I would have been the most blessed man in this world. But you didn't end it there, Lord. You've saved me and kept me, Lord. And I thank you for this opportunity now on this day, Lord, to be able to just open your word up. And I pray you bless it, Lord. I can't do anything, Lord. And I need you now to speak through me. And I need you, Lord, to just take this time and just bless it, Lord. And I know your word won't return unto you void. And I thank you again for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for everything that he's done for me. And I thank you and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, again, it's no coincidence, but a couple of the points that I left out at youth camp, I thought at the time that it was my mistake that I left them out, but it was the Lord just stopping me at the time. And, you know, we hear people have troubles in church, and we hear that, you know, people are going through things. But you know what? Until you make it a part, like you make it a part of, you know, their business. And when I say their business, it's not the reasons why they're in the situation they are. Their business meaning, you know, get a hold of them. Let them know you're praying for them. Put your arm around them and love them.
Yeah.
And let's look at chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I didn't take the cop out because Brother Paul picked verses where those words, man, those were hard to pronounce. So I got an easy text here. You know, praise the Lord. Some of those words, and he was doing it quick, too. But it was a blessing, brother. And I just, on a side note, I've gotten to know Brother Paul. I've worked with him a little bit. And he's a blessing, his wife. And praise the Lord for their baby boy. Let me ask you a question now. If while people were walking in this morning, I was standing at the back, and I just said, you know, without writing names down, how is everything? Is everything okay? You guys going through anything, struggling? Is everything fine? You know what we have a tendency of doing? Is just sugarcoating some stuff. You know, holding it in. You know, let's not let anybody know our business. Well, then what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Because not for nothing, if we can't open up to each other, who in the world are we going to open up to? If I can't tell my saved brothers and sisters, hey, I'm going through something right now and I could really use your prayer, then what are we doing? Then we are as these other churches on these corners that don't have any life, don't have any love of Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus Christ. You know, we're saved, yes, and that's tremendous. But we have a responsibility here as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You know, it's not just get saved and you're on your own, buddy, and I'll see you in heaven. That's not the way it works. You know, we're put here for a reason. And you know what? Not that many people would probably answer, hey, pray for me. I'm going through something. Really, something in my life right now is affecting me. My shoulder, it's burning me. I'm carrying something right now that I can't carry. Well, guess what? We can't carry any of it, but Jesus Christ can. And that was just one thing in camp. I just figured, you know what? Lord, please, just speak through me. And this is the one thing. And again, forgive me if anyone gets upset. I don't mean for anyone to get upset. I'm here because I love you. And I'm on the other side. I need you this morning. Okay? I'm carrying some things and I have some things going on in my life that I need my church family to get me through. And I ask you just to be a little mindful of these things. And when I thought about, you know, finding a statistic, which you won't find, on Christians that are bearing burdens and overwhelmed and something going on, guess what? It's going to be a lot. You know, I didn't say a lot are going to tell you, but it is a lot. Everybody's struggling with something. And I'm not talking the sin part of it. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about the burden that they're carrying. You know, it's between them and God why they're carrying it. It's none of our business. All right? We're there for them, or we should be. But, you know, these are some of the things that keep Christians from telling other Christians, hey, I need you. Criticism. Being judged. Somebody mocking you. And then this one, gossip. You know, if I was to take 10 people off to the side and say, look, right now it's not a good time in my life. I need you and I need your prayers. I'm struggling. I'm hurt. Thinking about throwing in the towel. I hope that not one of you would walk away and say, I wonder what he's going through. Is this something that he did wrong? It has to be something he did wrong, because why would the Lord allow something like that to happen? That's not our job. You know what? You know what our job is to do? Is get on our knees and pray. Guess what? Guilty. I don't always do it. But these past couple of months, the Lord showed me that I need to be doing it more than I am doing it. You know, because guess what happens? And yes, we do need to love our brother. Amen. But guess what happens? You know, sometimes we get on our high horse, right? Sometimes everything's good in your life. Your life is perfect. You have money in the bank. You have a healthy family. You have a job. You have everything you need. So guess what? You don't need anyone else, right? We don't need anyone else. Everything's fine. But guess what? When you're that other guy, the prayer request that pastor gives out, we need our church to step up and take action. You know, because I don't want to, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, because that's a point and then I'll be lost. But, you know, just the definition of burden. I looked up the definition of burden. It says a heavy load, something oppressive or worrisome, something that is carried. Now, I know in Psalm 55, David says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, because he will take that burden and get us through it. But our responsibility is still here. We still need to bear each other's burdens. Make their business your business. And you know what? Just in praying, you know, just say, Lord, guess what? I know their need, and I just want to pray that you'll do something for them. Because in the end, Jesus Christ does what he's going to do. But you know what? A little bit more, a couple more of our church family praying can only help. Obviously, we've seen that. In Psalm 38:4, again, it speaks of David's iniquities as a heavy burden. And it doesn't always have to be sin. You can struggle some things, a loss of a loved one, loss of a job, just something, anything. You can fill in the blanks. We're all burdened with something. I don't need to tell you what it is, because right now I'm sure each and every one of you are thinking of something. And it doesn't always have to be sin. And I thought about this part. This is the part of the verse that really jumped out at me before camp and more so now. If you go back to the verse, it says, bear you one another's burdens. Now, we've heard this. This is not a new verse. And so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the part that jumped out to me. Because the law of Christ is to love one another. And how could we bear, how could we make somebody else's problems, burdens, our business, if there is no love there? You can't bear somebody's burden if you don't love them. You know, it's like growing up, you know, your mom tells you, you know, you gotta love your brother, be nice to him. And you know what, as you grow up, you do see that there is that love there. You know, it's that's your brother, sister, mother, father. But you know what, you can't force somebody to love somebody. I met my wife, nobody forced me to love my wife. When I met my wife, I seen her, she was beautiful. That didn't make me love her. I loved her the more I got to know her. And you know how you get to love your brother? Get to know him a little bit more. Get to know them. You know what? Pastor talked about cliques. It's not the first time and it's not the last time. We all have our cliques. You know what cliques do for a church? Like Pastor said, I'm not up here, I'm not teaching anything different. See, I was a little harder on myself this week because the first thing you have to think of is, well, you need to make sense, obviously. You need to maybe find something that's going to teach the church something. No chance in the world. That's not my job. That's Pastor's job. That's Pastor Dean's job. And they do a great job at it. Okay? I am going to boast in them this morning because they are great men. And they don't want to hear it, but they're great men because of Jesus Christ. Therefore, that example that I see in them, I want to say thank you, Pastor Mike and Pastor Dean. Thank you very much. Because you live by mistakes, you live by learning, and you live by examples. And these are two great examples. And now, yes, you know what? I think this is a dysfunctional family. It is. I'm in it. It's dysfunctional. You know, I'm not talking about you guys. I can, but guess what? The father's not dysfunctional. You know, I've made mistakes here, people, family, friends. I've made mistakes. Guess what? I'm going to make some more. But I love you, and I pray that you love me also. And I don't mean just saying, which I've been guilty of, brother, I love you. I'm going to be praying for you. No, that's not what I mean. You know why? Because this became real to me. This message became real to me. Because unless you love someone, you are not going to bear their burdens.
That's right.
That love has to be genuine. It has to be real. Can't be a forced love. And I thank the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because you know what he did? He loved us first. And he stepped out of heaven for us. He paid the ultimate price. He gave all he could give. And I apologize to you this morning because I haven't given all I can give. But neither have you. You know, this message is to me. And the message, I believe, is to you also because the Lord just will have me preach this. And, you know, this is the problem. In, turn to this verse. It's very familiar, but I want to look at it. Luke 12, verse 48. And just to jump into this verse, because this stood out to me last night, because we're a blessed church. We've been given much here. We've heard some messages here that you'll never hear anywhere else. The Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up here every day, every time we meet, and not the people that are preaching it. We lift Jesus Christ up, because without him, none of this is possible at all. And if you read this verse, it says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." But here's this part. "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." And you know what? When I see that verse, you know what it makes me think of? We've been given the scriptures. We've been given the ammunition. We've been given what we need to do here. But guess what? It's going to take some work on our part now. You know, we're required to do something with it. You know, yes, it's in a book, it's written, it's for everyone. But it's also for everyone to take that step now and do something with it. And it's given to us for a reason, not to hide in our heart. Yes, you could do that with it, and it's a blessing. But we have a responsibility as brothers and sisters, as Christians, is to take that extra step for our brothers and sisters. You know, I thought about how to say this and to what extreme that I was going to touch on it. But if you've seen the camp shirts, there was two people on that shirt. There was one down on his knees, and there was the one picking him up. And I'm the one down on my knees right now. because there's been some events in my family's life over the last couple of months that by no control of mine. And I see now that the Lord's put me through something, but those of you that don't know, I'm gonna mention something, and I just ask that you pray about it, please. Okay? I'm not telling you for fuel to go home and talk about it. I'm asking you to seriously pray about it. I got laid off from my job months ago, and I work in a union 15 years, and I can break anything. I can pour concrete with the best of them. And when you get laid off from a job in construction, it's normal. You know, you're laid off for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. And praise the Lord, I've had my father-in-law over the last 15 years for work. You know, when I got laid off, the Lord, you know, had it that I could work with my father-in-law. And his work slowed down. And I find myself now, you know, saying to myself, oh boy, now what? I have a family. I have a house. I have bills. I'm a man, right? And I had the opportunity to just fold, you know, to just walk away from the things that I read every day, from the things that the Lord would have me to do and say. And it got to a point where my wife was really overwhelmed. And I looked at her one day and I said, we need help. And I called Pastor. And I said, Pastor, and I explained the situation. Because I needed prayers. I needed prayers of this church, and I needed the Lord to just jump in. Because, you know what, you can't, this is the thing. Look, if you're about to go through something, you're going through something, whatever it is, don't try and do it on your own.
Amen.
Don't. You know what happens when you do it on your own? I've done it a million times. You fail. You get to a place where you don't need to be. You get to a place where you don't have to be there. And I'm not saying the financial end of it. I'm saying the spiritual end of it. I'm saying where you feel so overwhelmed that you can't even function anymore. Because you know what it says? Cast your burdens on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Go to Jesus Christ with it. And I prayed about it. And I got peace in calling Pastor and just explaining my situation. You know what? I almost folded. I did. Honestly. I apologize. I almost quit. Because as a man, I grew up tough guy. Right? I'm going to fix it. You know, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do this. And you know what? The flesh is a filthy, filthy thing. Because we're saved. But guess what? As Pastor Dean says, we're two-thirds saved.
Yeah.
We still live in this disgusting flesh that, you know what? I'm still trying to get victory over for the rest of my Christian life. I know I will be having that fight. But this flesh wants to take control sometimes and say, hey, tough guy, you remember what you did back then? You remember the things you did to try to get out of your situation? You remember the ways that you did it? And you know what? I tried it. It didn't work. It didn't work. And I finally said, you know what? What am I doing? My family's suffering. You know, I could get over it. See, my way of handling things is just storing it in the back of my mind until one day I can't take it anymore. That's not the right way. Give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I prayed. I talked to Pastor. And for those of you that don't know, over the last month or so, Pastor's been making announcements about a family that, you know, the person lost their job and is financially not in a good spot. It hurts to even mention that right now. But I only do it because I need you guys to pray for me and my family. This message has meant so much to me because the church has gone above and beyond what they do. They've helped us financially. You guys, for whoever in this church had a part in the love offering for my family, thank you. Thank you doesn't do anything. It doesn't. Thank you so much, because it might seem like something small, but guess what? When you're overwhelmed, and we all can get overwhelmed, when you're overwhelmed, it doesn't seem like it's going to get good. But you know what the Lord showed me? Yes, I still have my bills. I don't care about that. But my family found it in their heart to pray for me, to pitch in, to help out. I got text, please come over and eat dinner. You know what that means to my family? We were ready to quit. You know, I almost did the wrong thing. But I'm not going to do that. There's no reason to throw in the towel. You know, Jesus, he overcame the world. The Bible tells us he overcame the world. Guess what? We can only win. You know what? Times are going to be there. Rough times will be there. We're going to suffer. But that the Bible tells us that. That's nothing new. You know, I think about love, and I think about Brother Pastor Silvestri, what he preached on Wednesday night. He said that a couple stopped coming to the church for whatever reason. But you know why they came back? He said, because of the love that the church had. You'll be surprised when you're that person that's down, the things that'll just pick your day up. Whether it be a text, whether it be an invitation. But you know what? Sometimes all you need is a hug. Sometimes you just need somebody to put their arm around you and tell you, hey, I love you, and I'm here. It sounds simple, but it is simple. That's the scary thing. You know what? It is a simple thing. You know what? Instead of getting in our cliques, instead of going home and talking about that brother or sister, you know what we need to do? How about at that table, pray for them right there and then? You know, because I've heard, been involved in, guilty, and I apologize. I've been involved in talking about a situation. Lord, forgive me. But you know what? Pastor mentions it. When we go downstairs for the Lord's Supper, it's over a table, right? That's a time where we're supposed to rejoice and see how great the Lord is. Now, when we're at home with our family, I have my wife and two kids. When we're at that table, it's a time to just praise the Lord. You know what? If you go home and at that table you pick another brother or sister apart, shame on you. Shame on you. And I only mean that because, you know what? I've been guilty of it. But being that person that's down, that needs that other person to put their hand out. Now, I know Jesus Christ puts his hand out every time I fall. There will never be an amount of times that I fail him that he doesn't put his hand out and pick me up. Because it's happened 1,000 times. And you know what? I pray that I could get to a point where I could go a week without having to put my hand up and say, Lord, pick me up, please. I need you right now. You know, that's my prayer. And I see that through the example of these two wonderful pastors that we have. Because they've been dealt some things before. And you know what? That's when I watch them the most. You know, it's not when they're behind the pulpit and preaching a message. It's when I watch their life. And that's why I praise the Lord for them. Because I watch their life. And I see the example that they are at that point. Okay? I watch them and say, Lord, I want that. When I am down at my worst, I want what they have. Because yes, I want what they have when I'm at the top. Because sometimes we get to the top, and like Brother Paul says, we get a little comfortable, right? We get a little bit like, I don't need anything right now, but if I have time, I'll pray for that person. No, we need each other every single day. I need you every single day of my life. I need you every minute of the day. You know, we have a little bit, Pastor has a prayer chain, but I have a prayer chain with a couple of men. And Brother Rich, I hope you don't mind. He sent the text out to pray for his job. Then I got a text later on after praying for his job that, you know, he was given papers for his dismissal, right? And you know what? You say, well, you prayed, but guess what? Maybe that's what the Lord wanted, you know? But we have a responsibility. He didn't have to open up and say that. You know, what we need to do is not have these little cliques. We're one church. We are one family. You know what? If I can't go to you with my problem and you can't come to me with mine, we're wasting our time. Okay? We are wasting our time. Nothing else should matter but the family right now. Okay? And the pastors didn't put me up to this. Okay? So I'm not speaking on that. They don't need me to speak. You know, when you think about this, the church anniversary. This is our pastor's anniversary. It's a double blessing. What in the world am I doing up here? You know, I thought about that. What can I possibly say that would edify, you know, would exalt, whatever the word is. What can I say that would be of any good? And you know what it is? I'm saying what the Lord told me. Amen. You know what? Because if you get up to this pulpit and you open this book up and you even read a verse, guess what? It's a blessing. You know, my words might not be like Brother Pat Mashanya, man. He could pick a word apart and tell you all these things. You know what? That's great. But I could go in his yard and break that concrete up in 10 seconds. Look, so you know what? We all have different gifts. But you know what the point is? Look, this is the love that I'm talking about. Turn to this verse. Look, these are all verses that are familiar, but they're a blessing to me. So let's look at it. John 15:13. And I promise I'm almost done. Another 2 pages. Amen. John 15:13. We've heard this. I've seen this. I've tasted this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us. Are we willing to lay our life down for another brother or sister? You know, are we ready to take that extra step? you know, the Lord's shown me some things that I need to be a little bit more observant. I need to pay attention. I need to open my eyes up, not just about Mike. See, Mike's problem, and Pastor Dina touched on this too, Mike's problem is that Mike was Mike's boss growing up. I'm the only one that I wanted to know anything about growing up. You see, before I got saved, there was no room for anybody else because I was full of myself. Okay? I loved myself, and that's all I cared about. But the Lord, through these events and through reading this and preparing it twice and just showing me things, has shown me it's not about Mike anymore. You know? It's about Jesus Christ and what He'll have me to do. And I don't know. Look, honestly, my prayer's changed. I don't know why I can't find a job. I have a lot of friends. I'm not boasting. In my line of work, I've made a lot of friends and probably only one enemy. And that was because the guy was supposedly a Christian and fired me. And I might have said something I shouldn't have. But I've made a lot of friends in the line of work that I'm in. And I've exhausted my contacts. You know what I should have did first? Was exhausted prayers with Jesus Christ before I went to the little black book that I have. All right? Maybe I should have handled it differently. But you know what the Lord's shown me? That He will take care of me no matter what. And guess what? This church has a tremendous part in that. If you are newly saved here and you don't know anyone here, if you don't know any of the history, anything that's gone on, well, guess what? Don't go anywhere. And you're going to meet and see some people here, Lord willing, that are going to just open their lives up to you. It should be that way. Right? That's our reasonable service, right? Right? Am I wrong? Does it take anything for you to just to send a text? When I got my brother Rich's text, he texts back, "I've always wanted a brother." Right? And I know he didn't just mean it to me because there's other guys on that prayer chain. But I love that brother right there. You know why? Because when me and him get together, we don't sugarcoat stuff. We don't put a shield up. I'm super Christian. I got this. No, you know what I do? Me and him, we cry together. You know why? Because we see what, like Pastor said, I get to look in the mirror every day and know what I'm capable of, where I've been, and the type of person that I am. Right? And then when you get around another brother and you cry, which, by the way, is nothing wrong with. Don't judge a man because he cries. All right? Don't judge someone because they shed a tear for Jesus Christ. I'm up here broken, but you know what? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And I have family and friends that will be there for me. And if you're some of the ones that aren't there, let's go. Let's get our act together. All right? If we could sit through these messages and these song services and hear Brother Jesse sing about "Thank You, Lord," and not be moved and not feel like just going to hug somebody and tell them that you love them, then there's something wrong inside. There really is something wrong inside, because I almost ran all over the place at the end of Jesse's song. Honestly. And not because I'm a freak. Because the Holy Spirit was just, I was about to melt. I was about to explode. Amen. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. But Pastor Dean will duct tape you if you get out of control. I just asked this last question, and then I have an illustration, and then I'm done. But are you that person that somebody can go to and say, "You know what? I need your help. I need some prayers. I need to talk to you. Can you come downstairs and pray for me?" You know, Brother Keith, I'm sitting in a row with him, and he shows me a text from Mark, his brother, saying, "Does Mike want to go downstairs and pray?" You see, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You know, we're sitting up here, we're singing songs. You know, it wasn't disrespectful that he texted him, because he didn't text him, "Hey, what's the score of the game?" He texted him, "Does Mike want to go downstairs and pray?" And that was a blessing, because we all need prayers. Amen. Everybody in here needs them. You know, when you're that guy that's down, that's when you feel it. But you can't always be the guy that's up. If you are, praise the Lord. That's a great thing. But when the table's turned and it's you that's there and you feel the way I do, even if this message didn't make any sense, this is what the Lord would want me to talk about. And I praise the Lord for it. But I just ask you that question. Are you the brother or sister that you should be that'll have your arms open when somebody comes to you with a problem? And with that being said, turn to Mark chapter 2. And then I'm done. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, "Again, he entered in, to Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, talking about Jesus Christ. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You know, and I looked at this before camp, and this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, because this is a group that went the extra step. This is a group that took the extra time. You see, when you look back at this, it tells you that Jesus Christ is in this house preaching. And there's this one that's suffering. And his friends came. And it said there was no room to receive him. The door was packed. There was people all over the place. It was crowded. Every reason for these people to quit. There were things in the way. But did they quit? No. Look what happened. And when they could not come nigh unto the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. You see, they wanted to get to Jesus Christ any way possible. And they were going to do it. See, they had faith knowing that if they could get inside that house, they can get what they went there for. And you know what happened? They went up to the roof, doesn't tell us how. They took their friend of the palsy, not capable of doing it himself. They carried him up there, they ripped the roof apart, and then they passed their friend down to Jesus Christ. That's the extreme. That's the extreme. But I got blown away by that, because there are examples in the Bible for a reason. They're not to turn your back on when you read it, like, oh boy, I don't want to see that. You know what they're there for? Because that's the extreme. They went out of their way. They couldn't get to the door. The door would have stopped me. Honestly, can't get in. I'll come back. They looked. They couldn't get in. They took them to the roof and they ripped it apart. They took the extra step. Are we the brother, sister that is going to take the extra step? Are we going to be that one that doesn't fold and quit when opposition comes? Are we going to be that brother and sister that says, you know what? Yes, everything is against me right now, but I have the greatest one for me right now. And you know what? They got in. They got in. Look what it says. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason these things in your hearts? You know, Jesus knows their heart. Jesus knew that they were coming there for a reason. They just wanted to get a little taste. They wanted to get in. They wanted to come to the one that was going to heal their friend. You know, they didn't quit. I didn't quit. And by the grace and power of God, I pray, and I hope you'll pray, that I won't quit. That I will take that next step. Because you know what? This church has been more than a blessing to me. I need 6.5 months to tell you what this church means to me and what this church has done for me. Okay? Let me tell you this, and then I'm done. I love that man and his family more than he'll ever know. And I love Pastor Dean as if he's my father. And I say that because when Pastor Dean left, I didn't have a relationship with Pastor Dean and Mrs. Dean when they left. But since he's been back, you know what he's done for me? He's taken the role of my dad. My dad's in heaven, and I miss my father every day of my life. But he took the place of my dad, and I can text him, call him, go to him, and guess what? It's never not now. You know what? I know I've called him certain times where he was busy, and I'll say, Pastor, you busy? No. Yes, he is. They're always busy. But you know what? It's never, can I call you back? And if it is, it's because they're driving. And yes, that's granted. Pull over. But you know what? They've always been there for me. And I just want to thank and praise the Lord for both of them and their families. Because you know what? This work is not going to get done on its own. You know, you got to give credit where credit's due. And it's the example that they are to me and my family and what they've done for us without even knowing it. And the important thing here is that palsy man, the man that was going through something, he knew what friends to go to. He didn't pick the four wrong guys. He knew who to call in a time of need. He knew what guy, what brother, what sister to go to that was going to take him to the right spot. Do we know who we're going to go to? I know who I have, and names aren't important because I'm not boasting at anybody. But you know what? Brother Rich is one of those guys. You know, not because he's tall, dark, and handsome. That has nothing to do with it. It's because of the love of Jesus Christ that that man, every time you're around him, he will tell you that he loves Jesus Christ. And I've seen a difference in him. And I'm not boasting in Rich, because Rich has his own problems, and I'm sure he would tell you that. I'm boasting in Jesus Christ for the brothers that he's put in my life that I could look at and say, I want more of that.
Amen.
And church, please, I know I'm not the only one in here that needs your prayers. It'd be impossible then. We all need each other. Every day. Thank you.